Dear Mom and Dad, I don't want you to think I haven't given this a lot of thought, but I have. I tried to cure myself, but nothing worked. Don't think it's your fault. It just happens. Please give all my Diana Ross records and tapes to Christy Monastera, who happens to love Diana as much as I do. And please, if it's possible, play Endless Love at my funeral. It's my absolute fave. And don't cry too much. It would have been a skillion times worse if I had lived. Your loving son, Trevor.
You're listening to Trevor, a Diana Ross-loving young man who's figured out that he's gay. And rather than face ridicule, bullying, or even worse from his classmates, he's decided to take his own life. Sadly, this is a scene that plays out daily in America and around the world. The good news here is that Trevor ends up living, getting the support he needs, and realizing the value of simply being himself, a gay teen. Of course, Trevor is a fictional character, but as the lead in the 1994 Academy Award-winning short film Trevor, he's been credited with saving the lives of hundreds of thousands of people, including young people today who are struggling with their sexual identity. You might ask how a short film with little distribution and released more than 20 years ago can do that. It's because Trevor, the movie, was the beginning of a movement and the launch of a vital nonprofit. It's called the Trevor Project, and we're going to learn more about it on our show today, as well as the former West Hollywood mayor who runs it. This is Crazy Good Turns. We tell stories about people who do amazing things for others. I'm your host, Brad Shaw.
Presidents, no politicians, but every big face need your running mate.
Yes, up, up, and away we go. Up, up, and it's making me glow. Yes, up, up, and away we go. Up, up, and liking it. Up, up, and away.
So my background is a little eclectic. I decided somewhere when I was in junior high or high school that I wanted to be an actress, and that took me on a path, and I wanted to be an actress for a reason that I never, ever could have thought would play out the way it did. But when I would talk to people, I'd say, well, I want to be an actress so I could work in movies that were meaningful and kind of changed how people thought and could make a difference. And I thought, you know, if I could just get famous, maybe people would listen to me.
This is Abby Land, the executive director and CEO of the Trevor Project, which is dedicated to suicide prevention and crisis intervention for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning people, but with an emphasis on teens and young adults.
Although I probably wouldn't have minded the fame and the wealth, but it really was about making a difference by having people watch whatever film I was going to be in or television show or whatever. And, you know, if people get to know you, then they sometimes listen to what you have to say. So that's why I wanted to be an actress.
Abby was once jokingly referred to by an LGBT activist as a flaming heterosexual, thanks to her dual role as a champion of gay rights, who's also a straight married woman. She took a circuitous route to her current position, but one that serves her well today. Raised in the Northeast, she eventually moved to Hollywood in the 1970s to chase that dream to be an actress. She said she didn't get a lot of acting work and worked a lot of odd jobs paying the bills.
Somewhere along the line, I was living in a place called West Hollywood. It was an unincorporated area, and I was a renter. And I was getting evicted because they wanted to change our units into condos. And so I contacted a renter's right group just to see if I had any rights. And also I had a lot of neighbors that were older than me. And, you know, that change when you're older is really traumatic. And so, you know, through working with this renter's rights group, the Coalition of Economic Survival, we got, you know, some kind of stuff as we left. But when a couple of years later, this area, West Hollywood, was trying to become a city, they contacted me about working on that campaign. And I thought, yeah, that sounds like a good thing to do. The campaign was successful, and that was 30 years ago. The city actually became a city. And I got involved, and it's like one day I woke up and I didn't want to be an actress anymore. I don't know what I wanted to be, but whatever that bug was, it left me.
Abby was on her way, working in local politics as well as for cause-related organizations, fighting injustice.
I wish I could say what the seminal moment was when I discovered who I was and how this was, but I've always hated injustice. I just always hated, and it's so hard to kind of verbalize it, but I don't like the arbitrariness of life. So, you know, you were born wherever you were born, into whatever family, like it's fate, right? And maybe you're poor, maybe you're rich, maybe you live on the good side of town, maybe you don't. I mean, it's so arbitrary. But that arbitrary, that fate is everything. And so it just seems so unfair to me. And so I know logically I can't correct all of that, you know, but it doesn't mean I can't try and can't try to level the playing field in some way so we all have the same opportunities. And that's what really has driven me a lot, whether it's fighting for women's rights. You know, women still make less money than men. There's so many other things where there's not equality. To healthcare, I mean, my God, every person should have the right to get to a decent doctor and get care and get it early. And the fact that that doesn't happen, that's like so unfair.
Soon, Abby got elected to City Council of West Hollywood. Then she got elected mayor for 5 terms. This wasn't a full-time job. Abby still worked for other organizations in areas of women's rights and healthcare: Hadassah, Feminist Majority Foundation, Los Angeles Free Clinic, to name a few. Enter the Trevor Project, founded in 1998 by the three people integral to the short film that we referenced at the beginning of the program: Peggy Reiske, James Lacine, and Randy Stone. The film, in fact, received such acclaim and so many people had stories similar to the fictional Trevor's that it only made sense to create a nonprofit, one that helped save the lives of youth struggling with their sexuality and gender. Abby, with all of her successes championing rights causes, was approached by the Trevor Project 4 years ago to lead the organization. She jumped at the opportunity.
LGBTQ issues have just always been important to me, and it really is that sense of, you're just born the way you are. You know, we are who we are. And the fact that you might, you know, be gay, it's like, well, why shouldn't you have every right? I happen not to be gay. Why shouldn't you have every right as I do? You're able to love the same as I am. You're able to work the same as I am. You're able to parent. I don't parent, but, you know, the same as people. So it just seemed ridiculous to me that just because of who you are attracted to, life is going to just be so challenging. And the thing that just is the best about the Trevor Project, but it's the part that, you know, can get your heart is, you know, here's a young person just discovering who they are. Mm-hmm. And we've all been young, and we know oftentimes some of the things that bother you when you're 13 and 14, you could care less about when you're 17 and 18. And what bothers you at 17 and 18 when you're 29, you know, it's like a blip. But at those times, those are everything. And when you feel your world is crashing down just because you're you, oh, what a horrible feeling. And the thought that you would like not have anywhere to turn and you know, hurt yourself maybe permanently, you know, that's like just breaks my heart.
The Trevor Project is the only national crisis intervention and suicide prevention program for LGBTQ youth. It's a fully accredited lifeline featuring a 24/7 phone hotline and text and chat services, all staffed with highly trained crisis counselors. It has its own social networking platform called Trevor Space, where more than 135,000 teens and young adults connect, make new friends, and find support. In the course of its young life, the Trevor Project has fielded hundreds of thousands of calls and has no doubt saved countless lives. I asked Abby about the hurdles the founders faced back in the 90s, at a time when people were much less tolerant to these issues.
The reality is that was probably, if there was ever a time to do it, that was the time, because of all that injustice and that hate that was being spewed. I mean, imagine how young people felt.
Great point.
Yeah, so they actually started it at the perfect time. But with that said, you're right, you know, people were not prepared. And people could understand, though, and there was no backlash. Everyone understood about the need of saving young people's lives. But people questioned, like, why it should just be a line dedicated for primarily gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and questioning youth. And people didn't understand, and still today, a lot of people don't know. Suicide is one of the leading causes of deaths. You know, it's the second leading cause of death of all young people 10 to 24. Many people don't know that. If you're gay or lesbian, bisexual, you're more at risk. Transgender, half transgender people have thought about taking their lives.
One woman who can personally relate to the problems the Trevor Project is helping solve is Michaela Mendelson.
I was a very public person before. Had just spent 9 years as president of a national franchise association and, you know, was involved with hundreds, if not thousands, of business associates, and plus tended to be just very much a leader in a lot of things I did.
Michaela is one of the Trevor Project's recently elected board members. She was recruited by Abby personally, and she brings decades of CEO-level business experience to the board, having run successful restaurant franchises throughout the Southwest. And she's transgender. In 2008, then-Michael Mendelson confronted his secret life and informed his wife of over 25 years and his three children, ages 13, 19, and 21, that he would be transitioning to Michaela.
Before I decided to really look into what I needed to do about my gender issues, I was falling apart emotionally and physically, got to the point where I just became a hermit for a year and disappeared from my public life. And ran my business through others. And I was never a suicidal person before that, but I had pretty much given up on life. And one morning I woke up with a little voice, my own voice, of course, telling me that if you don't face your gender issues, you're not going to make it. Now, of course, at that point in 2007, there was internet, and I looked up things on the internet, and I chose about 12 books on Amazon.com and read them all within a week, and was... Within that week, about 90% of my symptoms disappeared because I realized, you know, there was a name for it. It was, you know, I was transgender. I wasn't crazy. I wasn't sick. I was transgender, and figured I could make this work. My family and I could transition together. I went to child therapist. I read up on it. I went to couple therapy with my wife, but I was pretty naive. On a family level, it was very, very difficult because, and this isn't spoken about enough, there's so many transition stories, but not enough about the families that it affects. I was this super achiever, successful he-man to them who, when I came off that pedestal, it made life very difficult for them. For my daughters, I was, you know, very close, and I was like the man maybe that they'd want to marry one day. And for my son, I was like the man maybe he'd want to become one day. And all that changed in a flash of an eye for them. And so it became very, very difficult. I was told to stay. They felt their lives were being turned upside down.
So. Michaela recalls her kids wanting her to stay away from their friends and from school, or asking her to hide in her bedroom when their friends came over. One night during her transition, Michaela secretly went to her 13-year-old daughter's open house at school and read the poems written by students posted on the wall. Here's what her daughter wrote.
When I was 3 years old, I'd sit on top of my daddy's shoulders, and I was on top of the world. Nothing could ever hurt me. Everything was perfect, and now that's all changed, and my life's come crashing down, and things will never be the same. Even the sound of his voice sickens me. And when I read that, it was kind of like an arrow through the heart, of course, and for the first time, I felt like it was time to end my life because I was hurting my family.
That moment, Michaela says, led to a reactive suicide attempt and a new life.
And so the next day I found myself not in my right mind and stepping out of the car to step in front of an oncoming car, and my then 19-year-old son grabbed me and pulled me away and looked in my eyes and said, Dad, I don't care what gender you're in. This family needs you. Obviously that had a major effect on me, and I went the next day to my therapist, and she was shocked because she'd never heard me talk about suicide before. And she set me straight that if I thought I was helping my family by committing suicide, it was the absolute worst thing that could happen to them, because they'd wonder every day of their life what they could have done to stop it. So since then, I've never had another thought of suicide.
Along with serving on the board, Michaela has also become an active spokesperson for the Trevor Project through her more than 400 public appearances in her new life. And although it wasn't required, she went through the nearly 60 hours of training required by the Trevor Project's crisis counselors, as she said, to be a better steward for the brand and gain a better understanding of the people they're helping. She fields real calls as a counselor. So you must have heard yourself in some of those calls.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fairly new at this still, but certainly I hear, you know, I can share in some of the feelings they've had and I've felt. I have to learn as a counselor, though, to keep a level head and not get triggered myself so that I can really be there to help them. And I think I hope I'm doing a good job of that. I've gotten high marks. You know, when you're on the line with someone who has the means at hand and the intent to end their life, and you're the last person they're reaching out to, and if you can't talk them down, then you're the last person they'll ever talk to, is a very sobering experience for us as counselors.
Sobering, yes, and very dark at times, given the issues they're wrestling with. But interestingly, there's a palpable sense of joy and happiness in just about everything the Trevor Project does. You hear it in the support they get from celebrities like Daniel Radcliffe and YouTube stars Tyler Oakley and Jazz Jennings, herself a transitioning teen. You see it in their annual event, Trevor Live, and in their Twitter and Facebook feeds. I asked Abby about that sense of positive energy amidst so much despair.
That's a very interesting thing to note, because you're right. It is, our volunteers are talking to people in their darkest, darkest moment. But we're talking to people to save those young lives. And there's an urgency, and it's action-oriented. You know, we actually don't work to give people hope, because you don't know what hope is. I don't know what the future is going to hold. I don't want to have you hope. We work with you to give you action, and so you can empower yourself to do whatever you need to do in the next 5 minutes or day or 3 days so that you're in a different place. And it's that energy, and we are incredibly optimistic in a very pessimistic place, because when you think about it, look at where we started from. We started from a movie. And really, I have to say, I am in awe always of our three founders, that they took this movie and they recognized this issue and they literally changed their lives, you know, and focus in a sense to make this organization happen. And I think that's incredibly empowering. And I think even though we don't talk about that every single day, I think it's in our spirit.
I'm Brad Shaw, and thanks for listening to this episode of Crazy Good Turns. Go to crazygoodturns.org to learn more about the Trevor Project and submit your ideas for extraordinary people and organizations we should feature. You might have noticed we found some great music to support our podcast, and we've provided a Spotify playlist of the full tracks on our website so you can take a longer listen, which we hope you'll do. And if you're a band with a song we should consider featuring, you can submit it on our website too. Crazy Good Turns is audio engineered by Stephen Key. Music supervision and mixing by Score in Los Angeles. And a special thanks to Megan Basinger. We hope you like our podcast and help us out by sharing us in your social networks and giving us a review on iTunes. Take care and let's connect again soon.